earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday, we spoke about a statement by the Western Cape Community Policing Public Safety Ministry saying that since December, since June rather, 2019 to December 2021, 400 mass shootings in this province, largely attributed to illegal guns. But then we had on Jeremy Veery, former Western Cape head of detectives, now a member of Gun Free South Africa, who believe that a lot of gun activity results in the theft of private guns. Something like there are 4 million known guns in South Africa, owned by something like 1.3 registered gun owners. Joining me now is Jonathan Deal. He's from an organization called Safe Citizens, largely represents the registered legal gun lobby and gun owners lobby. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us. Your response to that assertion by Jeremy Veery that a lot of the guns that are used in shootings in and around the Western Cape and largely used in criminal activity around the country come from guns that are stolen from registered owners. Your response to that?
Lester, thank you very much for having me on your show. Firstly, I'd just like to correct one thing very briefly. Safe Citizen is a civil rights organization. We are certainly for lawful and appropriate and competent firearm ownership, but we definitely don't specifically represent gun owners at all.
But you lobby for gun owners.
In fact, underlying principle of Safe Citizen is that we say that a lawfully armed citizen will assist in keeping the community safe. But let me move on and answer your question. For a long time, there has been a theory propagated, which is completely inaccurate, that the majority of firearms in criminal hands emanated from lawfully owned private citizens, in other words, civilians like you and myself. Most certainly, there are a number of firearms that are in criminal hands that have either been stolen from lawfully armed citizens or that have on occasion been lost by them, or in fact, probably more easy to trace is the thousands of firearms that have been handed in under the various amnesties by citizens for destruction, which have then, through various channels in the police, found their way back into gangs. But certainly there are a number, Lester, of very well-known sources for firearms coming into criminal hands. And they come across our borders from neighboring territories. There are tens of thousands of firearms that are part of political party arms caches pre-1994 that were brought into South Africa and buried in arms caches. The police lose a regular amount of firearms. The City Press recently reported an amount of 26,000 firearms lost by the police. The metros are losing. Ekurhuleni Metro was reported as losing 700 firearms. JMPD was in the news the other day for tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition that was stolen from them. The South African National Defence Force is also worthy of mention in terms of their firearms. And then I think lastly, just to put a cap on the sources of illegal firearms potentially, we have seen that even when there's an amateur type of attack on a police station, simply by two or three people that would be nothing more than thugs, they generally manage to walk away with police duty weapons, sometimes which include things like fully automatic rifles. So the private citizen is actually not the overriding source of unlicensed guns in the country.
May not be the overriding source in your opinion, but are legal gun owners a target for criminals? I reference an horrific story of a brutal killing of an elderly couple in Limpopo. It was the Kluta couple. Louis Kluta was 74 years old. They were brutally killed, and along with the murder was also the theft of guns. This is the second incident in just months where, according to the Sunday Times, that family was attacked. And the initial break-in was also for for guns are registered and legal firearm owners in South Africa targets for criminals?
I think that if you look at that question critically, certainly any thug or somebody breaking in or targeting a family would be looking for a firearm if they could find it. But most certainly, if I were a thug or a criminal, the last person that I would like to attack would be a lawfully armed citizen that is competent in the use of the firearm. I would rather choose a family that has got nothing to defend themselves with and no hope of getting a response from the police in the time that I'm busy with my task there.
How many guns does the average registered, legal, above board, law-abiding citizen gun owner in South Africa have?
The majority of firearm owners in South Africa, by far the greatest majority, own what is known as a Section 13 license, which is issued for self-defense, and those people have one firearm.
This Jeremy Very said, and this is largely you asked to come on to as a response to that, says there are something like 4 million weapons in South Africa, used by 1.3 million registered firearm users. That to me says there's more than one gun per registered user.
Well, if you look at the fact that there are over 1 million Section 13 license holders, that takes care of 1 million of the others. Of the 4 million that General Very is, or ex-General Very is speaking about, and I'm not quite sure where he gets that final sort of definitive figure. It definitely runs into the millions, but that would include all of the firearms in the private security industry. Please bear in mind that the private security industry is four times the size of the South African police services, and every one of those people also has the opportunity to use a firearm in their duty. So he's counting in, probably when he talks about firearms in South Africa, military, police, customs, national parks, this private security industry, and of course then private citizens. So unless it doesn't immediately follow that private citizens are sitting on 4 million guns.
In your statement that was released after that conversation, you referenced also the use of, heavy arms used in cash in transit. As you mentioned, AK-47s. But if I were to ask people who are in the police, but what kind of weapons are used in the phenomena of mass shootings, and they would say it's small arms, it's handguns, and that AK-47s aren't used in this brutal phenomena in South Africa of mass shootings, of particularly home break-ins and where civilians are targeted.
Yeah, you're quite right. In what we would call, or what has been defined in South Africa as a mass shooting, which is more than three people being killed in the same incident, certainly it appears in the majority of circumstances here that handguns are being used by some of those gangs. The interesting thing is, of course, that when we look at the majority of those so-called 400 incidents since June 2019, I think it was, you are seeing a lot of firearms of the type used by the police and the make used by the police or by the military. So we're actually not seeing a lot of typical firearms that would be owned by Section 13 license holders used in those. Certainly, I'm not suggesting that it's completely, that it doesn't happen. It certainly happens. But lesser the elephant in the room in this discussion is that I'd like to put the following statement to you, is that guns are a necessary and intrinsic part of a civilized society. Even in today's magistrate courts, when a decision is taken in a magistrate's court, whether it's say on a maintenance matter, when that magistrate gives a judgment, the item that is underpinning the rule of law is the threat of application of a firearm by the state. Our ministers, our celebrities, our visiting dignitaries, our assets, our borders, our national parks, even the studio that you're sitting in is protected by the threat of the ultimate application of a firearm to bring a critical situation to an end. We cannot legislate firearms out of the community. We can work together to tighten up firearm laws and to make this a very uncomfortable place for criminals.
Yeah, I completely agree. I form more of the bent of stricter regulation. So I put a question to you. If we are going to look at and re-look at and particularly put the onus of responsibility of whoever is the custodian of that firearm, whether it's the safe key holder of a police station or whether it is a gun owner, do you feel that firearm owners or those who have the responsibility of custodianship over a registered and legal firearm, do you think they should be held accountable? If there is theft, if there is negligence, should they be held responsible if there could be a connection between the firearm that was in their possession and supposed to be under their responsibility, if that is used in the committing of a crime, particularly when another person is killed with that gun?
I think unequivocally you've got a point, bearing in mind that there are obviously various circumstances. So I'm wearing a firearm this morning and I'm in a public place at the moment. If my firearm was taken from me under duress by people that were armed and maybe were able to catch me unawares, it would be difficult to show that I was negligent in having that gun taken off me. But people that leave their guns in cars, that don't secure them properly, that don't use them responsibly, that behave irresponsibly in possession of a firearm, there should be no place for them to hide whatsoever. We have absolutely no room for that in our ethos or in our thinking. And Safe Citizen is engaging consistently and regularly with the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services. We're not making a big noise about it in the media, but we are making enormous strides in bringing together issues to tighten up legislation around this specific issue. And also, I would like to point out to you that we don't have an extreme position that everybody in this country should be armed. I'm convinced that there are a lot of people in this country that should never have the privilege of owning a firearm.
What should be the criteria?
The criteria should be a very significant and thorough background check, more significant and thorough than is done at the moment. I don't think that it is relevant to speak to an applicant's spouse or their neighbor or one of their friends. I think that there should be a far more detailed background check when applications are reviewed. And we also believe that the basic unit standards for the training of firearm owners could be expanded in the future. I am a trainer myself, and I have some knowledge in this area.
I misheard you there. So do they? Do you current? What is the background checks in terms of interviewing the people around the applicant?
At the moment, the background check involves a call to a spouse, if the person is married, and or to a family member. Mm-hmm. And or, for instance, to a neighbor.
And you're saying that that's not necessary?
No, I think it's not adequate.
Okay, it's not adequate. You want beyond that, because I'm also thinking...
I want much
I
more.
Also would want to know the temperament of the person who's applying.
Yeah, no, I would like to see a far more detailed background check. For instance, when the police do a security clearance on somebody, they speak to the references that the person supplies, but then they start digging into other references that arise from those conversations. And that is the type of conversation that should be happening. So, for instance, if I'm a bad-tempered, irascible, abusive husband, and I apply for a gun license, and my wife is perhaps afraid of not giving me a good reference because it might come out, she's going to say, no, I'm fine. The neighbor who rides with me once every second month will say, no, he's fine. And a friend will also say, well, he's fine. And so then you pass your reference check. So I would like to assure your listeners and the people in the community that have had some doubts about firearms, that is where I think this should head, that we have very much more detailed and thorough background checking around the temperament of people, that are approved to apply for a gun license.
Jonathan, I hold no candle or brief for Jeremy Vieri, but also in terms of the tone of temperament, which I read maybe in a little bit of the subtext, or maybe I just read too much into it, in your statement and other statements that I've seen of people who lobby for the rights of gun ownership, is saying, oh, who is Jeremy Vieri? He is a person who, along with a team of capable detectives, put behind bars a man who was ultimately responsible for the deaths of more than 1,000 people, including innocent children. Christian Prinsloo, a police officer himself, when he sold guns to organized crime. I think Jeremy Vieri has a little bit of experience in knowing what the layout is in the connection between street gangs, guns that are used in violence, and where they originate from.
Yes, I have a lot of admiration for Jeremy Vieri and what he accomplished as a police officer, and also for his experience. The only thing that I find lamentable is the fact that he has aligned himself with an organization that has an extreme position, and that extreme position is no guns in South Africa ever under any circumstances. It's extreme and it's unrealistic. He could do a lot more in joining hands with an organization like Safe Citizen, where we have the view that not everybody should own a gun, but that people that are competent, responsible, should be entitled to apply for the privilege of owning a firearm. So I think that we could do some really good work with him in terms of tightening things up and using his knowledge and his connections.
It may be unrealistic, but is it really so extreme to think that we want to live in a reality where there are no guns used by criminals and people with nefarious expectations or projects, and therefore also I would not need a gun myself? Realistic, you are right, but is it an extreme position to think I don't want to live in a society where there are guns at all?
Not at all. I think that it would certainly be a utopia for all of us. But if we look at the fact that there are many hundreds of thousands of people in South Africa who choose not to own a firearm, but who employ or contract with an armed response unit to come and look after them. And simply the difference between the button that they push for an armed response and the trigger of my firearm is a couple of minutes. They are still expecting somebody with a gun to come and sort out the problem. So South Africa is very unique. This can't be Vietnam, it can't be Botswana, it can't be Switzerland by any stretch of the imagination. And we need to make peace with the fact that a firearm underpins the rule of law in this country, and it is the only thing, Lester, that will put a 60-kilogram woman on the same footing with a 120-kilogram attacker. It's the only thing that will assist her in that moment.
Jonathan, I've no interest in a gun. Appreciate and respect someone's rights to be a licensed firearm carrier. So I absolutely know nothing about the procedures and protocols. So I'm going to ask a listener question here, simply as a public service to this listener, who very sincerely asked, "Hi, Lester, I have a firearm and with an expired license. Is it illegal? And what should I do?" We had a caller in 2 days ago, and this I didn't know, that when you renew your license, and while it is that process is going through the bureaucratic channels, you temporarily hand that firearm in. Is that the case?
Lester, these are the facts of the matter. The person that is in possession of a firearm with an expired license, if it is the white plastic card, is de facto in possession of an unlicensed gun this morning. The good news is, let's call it good news if we can, that there are more than 500,000 people in this country, white license holders, I'm talking about the white plastic card, that are sitting in a similar position. The police are working hard to address that and moving very swiftly to coming to a solution to make the relicensing of those individuals possible.
A messenger from Simon in Mitchell's Plain, who I think has also, from people I know live in Mitchell's Plain, like many places around the country, I have a lived experience of gun and gun violence in the areas. Hi, Lester, you should tell Jonathan and his fellow gun lovers to spend some time on the Cape Flats, where gangs use their stolen guns to kill each other. Just response to that sentiment, Jonathan.
I can certainly identify and have great empathy with Simon's viewpoint. And Simon, of course, is working on the assumption that all of those firearms emanate from people like me, or people like me that apparently love guns. And there's a very different side to the story. As we know, there's always two sides to a story. And I do have empathy with what Simon experiences on a daily basis. I can't deny that at all.
Jonathan, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lester.
Sober nice conversation. Chat. Hope maybe if you'll be up to it, if someone from an opposing lobby is up with a sober conversation that we have together. Obviously, radio talk shows don't solve the major problems or the big problems, but it creates maybe a little bit of a dialogue. Maybe we could get you and Jeremy or anyone from an opposing lobby in studio, and we can have a roundtable discussion about it. I personally feel very uncomfortable around guns. It is the law to have a licensed and registered firearm on your possession. If you meet the criteria, so I appreciate people's right to want to do so, but I tend personally to strive for that utopia.